Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message.
My name is John Walsh. I welcome you this morning in the name of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to let you know Pastor Harold is in Texas today, as Pam told us. Part of what Harold gave me today was just an outline of what we're talking about today. So some of it I'll be reading right up. He gave this to me the other day, and it was pretty funny. He was telling me, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. I said, well, what is it? He said, I'll give you the outline and everything. And he hands it to me, and it's like 3-4 pages long. And I'm like, well, do I just go up and read it? He said, well, no, don't just go stand there and read it. Pastor Harold said that Jesus said that you better do it. That's not what he was talking about. So you'll see me looking at this back and forth, and you'll see me, I wrote some of my stuff that made me think what we are talking about. One of the things, you know, that he wrote in here that he says, please stand as we prepare to read our key scripture. Are we ready for that? So we follow along, Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. After reading, please turn around, give a fist pump to those around you, and shout together, embrace the Sabbath lifestyle. So that's what we're going to do. Ready? One, two, three. Embrace the Sabbath lifestyle. I've never done that before. Shouted, embrace the Sabbath lifestyle. In fact, I thought, what exactly is the Sabbath lifestyle? And I mean, I've had, you know, in judging what the Sabbath is, we know, you know, we taught from, you know, Sunday school. Well, it's a day of rest. And why is it a day of rest? Well, that's what God did after he was done with his works. And it shows us it's a time for us to be done with our works and to rest and recuperate, but also to connect. And so I will read. There is this next part. He wrote, brothers and sisters, we journey together this year toward holistic soul restoration, nurturing our body, mind, and spirit. In January, we reclaim the gospel of the kingdom and learn to live fully surrendered to Christ. In February, we discovered that Jesus is our ultimate rest, inviting us to lay down our burdens and find renewal in him. We celebrate Testimony Sundays on the third Sunday of each month and observe communion on the last Sunday of each month. Today, we continue our journey by exploring how to live a Sabbath lifestyle, a daily practice of intentional rest and trust in God. So a lifestyle that includes daily pause and connection with God. And, you know, it's like anything that I've ever done. It's how do I even start that? How do I begin that? When do I do that? What time is that supposed to happen? You know, I've always had, you know, hit your knees in the morning and say please, hit your knees at night and say thank you. And, you know, that's our elementary invitation to try and connect with God. But I find in my life that's next to fruitless. It doesn't give me, as soon as I say please, I'm off the door into the worldly things, into my own deals, my own situations, my own concerns, other people's problems, other people's concerns, traffic, anything else. So what do I do in order to stay centered? And to me, that's really what a Sabbath pause is going to do, and a Sabbath lifestyle is going to do for me, is allow me to stay centered, stay focused, right? Because the big message is God's got it. You know, so I want to tackle all of these things that are coming my way every day. They're going to be wrong, and I'm going to be sorry that I did, but that's how I'm wired, you know. I want to, whatever's happening, I want to be in charge of it. I want to fix it, and I want it done my way. Forgetting the fact that, and it just becomes such a weak, spiritually dead life that, you know, for me, I come crawling back on my hands and knees. And this is right where it leads us back into a pause and centering. One key passage from Hebrews 4:9 tells us, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." That example of disobedience, as we remember, was Hebrews is talking to Christians. The warning, you know, about what will happen if we do exactly that. I get into my unbelief, my self-belief, my getting away from God, my giving no time to remember that God's in charge of this. Just like, you know, the Israelites did. And what happened to them? Their warning in that was, you know, you're going to die. I mean, this is what happened to those. God had his reward set up for them. And they lost their belief, they lost their way, they perished. And that's what that is really telling us, is that beware, be warned, be ready every day. And the Sabbath, a Sabbath lifestyle is our way to do that. That's the path. And, you know, Harold talks about those of us that are, you know, came to God, a relationship with God really through recovery. The very first thing we learn is how desperate we are to be in control and to take charge of everything and to fix it. And that's why our lives turn out to be a wreck. What we don't have is any pause or relief or release to let go and let God, as he promised he will do. And that's where our nourishment comes from. So let us now explore how we can embrace a Sabbath lifestyle and transform our daily lives. Point one, Sabbath is a lifestyle, not just a day. Hebrews 4:9, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The Sabbath goes beyond the designated day off. It creates a rhythm of life where you pause to connect with God. And I had to begin somehow. You know, am I going to set an alert on my phone? Am I going to? And absolutely, you know, because even I can have an alert go off, and I'm the kind of guy, if I got a tool in this hand and a thing in that hand, I don't want to pause for even God. I want to get this thing done. As soon as I get this thing done, then I'll be able to do this, and then I'll be able to. It's first things first, me first. And that just is exactly the fight that I'm against every day. And why this is so, whatever this problem is, or the problem that's waiting for me tonight or down the road, whatever it is, God already knows about it. You know, he knows what I need. He knows how to help. And my point isn't to figure that out. My point is to pause, connect with him, and let him have it. How amazing my life turns out on the spot. And I found that things with God don't have a 6-month probationary period to see if I'm worthy. You know, it's ready right now. So, when you pause to connect with God, I get the relief and the comfort that comes from that when I do that. So it doesn't take long for the results, you know. I mean, I definitely want to be, I want the results. I want what I want when I want it. That's who I am. And that's great, because in God's world, I get it right now, you know. It doesn't have to be my answer that I thought was supposed to happen. It's his answer given to me right now. And it's mostly just, "John, stay out of the way. Grab your tool, fix your thing. After that, we'll go to the next." From creation, God set a pattern of rest that nourishes our well-being. And it does exactly that. And then back to this line, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." That's it. I can have it all, or I can die. That's what I get to pick from. I mean, the simple act of giving it to God, or just losing my faith, losing my belief. And I'm not going to do that tomorrow. We have a saying, if you're not growing, you're going to be going. And that's a fact. And that happens here. It happens to those of us that are seeking whatever kind of life with God that we're seeking and however we're trying to find it. If we're not in a daily connection, almost for me has to be several times throughout the day, then I'm going. I'm at least off in the worldly things. That's when, you know, how does sin begin? By me just walking back out and entering into, you know, a true disbelief. That's where sin is. I've forgotten and I've walked away. So, an application for a life, or a Sabbath lifestyle, to carve out intentional moments each day to stand still before God. How often during the day? What time? Is there a rhythm that keeps me centered? It just does, you know. Sometimes it'll be a check in my spirit. You know, God, John, go over into that bathroom. I've been in so many people's bathrooms, not using the bathroom, but talking to God, because it's where I can shut the door and be alone for a moment. That's what I need, you know. He'll meet me in the bathroom if that's where we need to go. But throughout the day. And my whole coming to recovery, being told that if you're going to beat this, you're going to do it with the help of God. How's that all going to happen? I totally lost my train of thought there. So we might come back to that. Intentional moments each day to stand still before God, which was whatever it is that day, that time of day that I'm either scheduled to, as a reminder to John, leave life alone for a moment and connect with God, or just that I know I need to right now. Use these moments as act of worship and renewal, not as idleness. And yeah, I mean, it's not meditation, you know, it's reaching out. It's not just to sit still, it's really to connect. Because one of the problems I have, when I'm hours into my day, if I just get quiet, all I hear is my day. And then I hear your day, and her day, and their day. And I just get, you know, I can't just let it go. I mean, that's just how I am. So how much I need to center to connect with God and to ask for his help right there on the spot is the difference between I'm just going to chill for 5 minutes. Chilling for 5 minutes doesn't work too well for me. That can be worse than, you know, because then it's just all my thing. It's not his. Pam read the thing about the smartphone, which is also in here. It says, consider your smartphone, which runs on battery all day. Without regular recharging, it loses power. Similarly, you need consistent times in God's presence to recharge and remain spiritually strong. And to remain spiritually strong is that, you know, I can keep working all day, but I can't keep my mind and my, if I'm just 100%, into the world, I'm out there dealing with people and, you know, whatever it is, sooner or later I'm going to be just kind of like this, you know. I'm supposed to be fit, and I'm supposed to be, and I can have that, but it's time to go back and have a Sabbath time. There's this quote from this person I've never heard of, maybe you have, Augustine of Hippo. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Amen to that. Sabbath, point two, Sabbath is an act of trust. Scripture 4:10, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. A key insight, embracing the Sabbath shows your faith in and trust in God as your ultimate provider. I wrote, as a follower, I know I always need him as the provider, and the practice of Sabbath time grows my faith that he's got this. I remember in the point of he's got this, you know, that's still, you know, when I'm out in the day, reminding myself that he's got that, whatever it is. He's not going to fix the toilet that somebody asked me, hired me to go fix because I believe in him. I'm going to fix the toilet. He's going to take care of my spiritual fitness, my well-being, my ability to help. He's going to take care of the things that he needs to for me. But I remember, you know, there was early on in my recovery in alcoholism, one of our friends was, man, he was really go-getter, and he was out there, and all of a sudden cancer just like that had him. Where's Tom? He's, you know, he's probably going to die in a day or two. Where is he? Oh, he's in the hospital, and we show up, and we're, oh, man, you know, this and everything else, and what can we do for you, man? And, you know, how can we, you know, we're trying to just be helpful. And he's sitting in bed. He's like, it's a big deal. So God's got this. I'm just laying here watching TV. I mean, just like that, he's going to die. No fear, no discomfort. I mean, he may have had pain. He may have, but he was sitting up in bed, ready to die, saying God's got this. The only thing on his mind. He's like, after that, I'm just being lazy. I'm laying here. That was a big indication to me of what God's got this really is, you know. God's not going to do the task that I have to do today because I prayed to him to do the task for me that I want to do. God's going to take care of us, love us, and help us live in his grace. And I think that's one of the things that a pause in the Sabbath-centered life will do, remind us we're living in his grace. Sin will keep telling me that I have to earn his grace again, that I have to go out and be saved again, that I have to ask and all over and over and over. Which is just what I think happened to the Israelites. You know, what I'm working for is what God has for me in heaven, what God has for us in heaven. You know, that's what Christianity and following him is going to deliver. Not a daily, I need to get born again, you know, I fell off, I need to come back and this and that. I've forgotten what grace is and I don't believe. And all of a sudden I'm right in the same boat that we were warned about thousands of years ago, don't let this happen to you. A great way to not let it happen to you is to take time for that Sabbath pause. And it certainly does. I mean, one of the things that I struggled with as just a selfish, what we struggle with in alcoholism, is just I'm up here or I'm down here. I just don't belong with you. I'm riding high, I'm too good, you're not this enough, you're not that enough, or I don't belong here, I'm not good enough, I'm never right here, I'm never okay. And if I'm never okay, then I can't come love you the way I'm supposed to, the way God is one rule, you know, love others as I've loved you. If I don't take time to get centered, then I'm not going to be that guy. And that's just the power of pause right there, and what Sabbath time will do for me. That without it, it is literally a pathway to sin. So it reminds you that your value comes from his grace, not constant productivity, which is exactly that. I don't have to keep, you know, checking the boxes to prove that I'm a believer. I have to remind myself that I live in his grace and live a life of joy, you know, is truly what I get. The application for how to have Sabbath is an act of trust. Let go of the drive to do more and trust that God controls every detail of your life, in your life. My obsession with control and the idea that I need to remember that God's got this is what my Sabbath practice is every day. You know, struggling with the idea that I forgot God's got it, and he's got it. Deepen your reliance on him during your moments of rest. It says, picture a farmer who never allows his land to rest. The soil soon loses its fertility, and the harvest suffers. Likewise, when you refuse to rest, your spirit depletes and struggles to bear fruit. And that exactly, is when I'm in trouble. That is what happens when I leave it alone and I take it on and I'm walking the walk by myself, not inviting him just to connect right here in my life right now. The power, I didn't know how to put into words a Sabbath lifestyle. You know, a lot of things I've learned, it's like, I get it, but I can't tell you what it is. I can't put a name on it. A Sabbath lifestyle. I mean, back in my, you know, teenage hippie years, a Sabbath lifestyle was a far different thing from what we're talking about here. And it didn't produce quality results. But having a name for this right here, where the real power, where the fruit comes from, living a Sabbath lifestyle. I mean, I'm glad he picked me for, I'm still just a moron up here trying to sound cool and trying to deliver the word. Believe me, I pray, God, just the message, I'm the conduit. I don't have to be anything, let it come through, because what a cool message this is. And to be able to hear it and read it and give me something to actually say, man, that's what I really have in my life. But now I can actually put it in a Christian term. I mean, you know, believe me, a lot of our stuff comes from recovery-based where, you know, we find God and we connect with God. And then we have to go out and find where we really want to learn, you know, and really want to know what it means. And so things like these are awesome in my life. That's where I'm centered today. The Sabbath, this is a quote from Marva Dawn. The Sabbath is not a time for us to be lazy, but to trust in the God who works while we rest. Heard that. So, point three, entering God's rest requires intentional effort. Scripture from Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So there's a little quote or statement that said that rest is a state of peace and security in faith. So back again, the parish is this story of reading the story of what happened in the desert to the Israelites, and bringing the fact that it was just, you know, it just says unbelief, you know, it's the word they use. And they knew. I mean, they knew he was there. They just quit listening. And it's like, man, you know, I don't feel like, I mean, I've never seen him or heard him, you know. My faith comes from the Word. And I truly believe in the death that comes from just turning away, thinking it doesn't work, or this part's true, but I don't believe that part, or I don't really want to go that far. Or wherever it is that the doubt or thought or something I see that works for somebody else or whatever it is. You know, there's 1,000 attacks on my faith every day just by walking around in the world. That pause, that getting back to center, I mean, to know him right here, right now is the part that, you know, it's when I feel the lack of power from sin, the lack of power from, you know, if I have to start there, you know, when I can come, and we do it a lot, you know, we put out a lot of time to help others, just in, you know, in recovery and certainly what we're going to be doing in the church, but just to reach out to help others, you know. Millionaires driving Ferraris probably don't need our help. But people on the street, people with sickness, people with cancer, people with drug addiction, people with this and that, where's my time? And the difference between me living a life today where I just was worried about what was going on and I couldn't fix this and all that, I'm probably not going out to be of much service to anybody tonight. But a day where I was centered and I was just on an even keel life with you and with God, and I took time to just let go of all these things, you're going to find me somewhere. I mean, we have thousands of opportunities every day. And I've built a life I could never dream of through that beginning of pause and grace and just the actions laid out before me. Again, I didn't fix anything. You know, I didn't take care of anything. I fixed a toilet, and then I talked to a guy about the best news ever. That's what I did today. That pales in comparison to God's job and what he's promised to us. You know, but I did what I was supposed to do. And at the end of the day, I can say thank you on my knees. And this is why I thank you. Not because I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and I saw that. But here's what you did for me, and I'm counting my blessings. I might fall asleep counting my blessings. This has been a long day. What power in just that, this Sabbath lifestyle. Key insight. You choose proper rest by setting boundaries and intentionally stepping away from constant busyness. And again, I mean, I remember one of the things, how do I get results? I want to see what's happening. I want to see how this is working. I did a big new fitness program, I don't know, 8 years ago, something like that. It was two different workouts a day, every single day. In addition to that, and there was diet stuff, and there was reading stuff. It was a crazy deal. And then aside from the two different workouts every day, I just started doing all these push-ups. I said, I'm going to do 300 push-ups a day and do these. And I'd do this track in the morning, and I'd stop, and I'd hit 30 push-ups, and I'd do it again. And I'd just keep counting. And then during the day, I'd stop, and I'd take a pause, and I'd drop down, and I'd do 25 push-ups. And then I'd get right back up with my screwdriver, and I'd go fix this, right in the middle of work day. And this was happening every day, and I didn't fail, because I knew what I wanted. I didn't know exactly what it looked like, but I wanted results, and I wanted this and that. And after, you know, 2 months, I could look at the scale, and I saw the results. And I could look in the mirror, and I saw the results. Well, this is really working. Went up to 400 push-ups a day. I was like, this is really working. About that time is when I realized all of my intentional pauses and energy were all physical. I'm living a spiritual life that is now weakening. I saw, if I compare how much I'm working on me, myself, and I, as opposed to how much I'm loving other people, being a part of my family and all that, and one greatly outweighed the other. And I thought, why be a believer, you know, if it's like when you don't do anything in recovery, well, after a while, it ain't going to be much fun. It's not going to be very desirable, and you're going to leave. You know? I don't know what exactly the Israelites were doing, but I know that I don't want to get to a point where I think, well, you know, I'm just not feeling it. Why do I keep coming? You know? One of the things we say, and it says in our Alcoholics Anonymous book, says we don't have a cure. What we have is a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. That's how we have what we have. So, T. John, what have you done? You know, how have you brought Jesus into your life in the last week or month or whatever? I was like, man, I can't even remember if I prayed this morning. I don't even, you know. Man, if I go look in that mirror and take my shirt, man, I look awesome. Well, that brought no joy to my life. Nor did anything I was doing outside of that bring any joy to my life. And I learned a great lesson in faith. If I do this every day, it works. And I'm going to get stronger. And it's a lot of, I talk to guys all the time. They come in, the first thing they hear is, God's going to help you with this. I don't believe in God. Well, I mean, you don't have to believe in God. But you better start because you've been believing in you. And this is how it turned out. So maybe you want to try something else. And they begin. You know, they start somewhere and they talk to someone and they build however they build their relationship, which is exactly what I did and how I wound up here today. You know, a true believer. Absolutely. But, you know, I was weak. And after becoming a believer, I became weak again because, you know, other things, myself or the world, became more important. I did not have a Sabbath lifestyle. And that began where I really need to I don't have to intentionally pause for push-ups anymore. Stay fit, be healthy, treat your body correctly. That's good. You know, I'm not 25 years old living on the beach. I don't need that in my life. But I do need to be spiritually fit in Jesus Christ. That's for sure. Such a profound difference in living in the light and living in the love and just anything else. It's just getting lost in the woods. So this effort opens the door to the fullness of life that God intends for you. You know, I've experienced that. Again, I didn't have any concept of what my life should or would ever look like, and I had to begin building that with God. What, you know, a husband, never thought about it. A father, never thought about it. Somebody, people can never thought about it, you know, and began my relationship with God with that. And now to have all these things but not treat them like the blessings they are is actually what happens when I don't spend that time centered with God. So it says here, for an illustration, imagine a musician whose pauses between notes create a beautiful melody. Without those pauses, the music turns to noise. Your intentional pauses bring harmony and renewal to your soul. Yes, they do. Again, and we go over and over what it does on a daily basis. My daily reprieve, my daily centeredness comes from doing exactly what we're talking about today, a Sabbath lifestyle. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Quote from John Piper. So, we've gone through all that. That was the best I could do with it. I had 2 days to work on that, so. But it's really, it's hammer home the same point, you know. I didn't have to discover cancer. I just had to, how do I apply that in my life? Do I apply that in my life? What happens when I don't apply that in my life? Is a Sabbath lifestyle something I should be living? I think so. So in conclusion, embracing a Sabbath lifestyle, as we continue on our 2025 journey of soul restoration, nurturing our body, mind, and spirit, you commit to living a Sabbath lifestyle. Trust God consistently, not only on designated days, but every day. Set aside time to rest in His presence, recharge your spiritual batteries, and let His grace transform every part of your life. The invitation: examine your daily routine and find moments where you intentionally pause and experience God's rest. Today, commit to trusting God with your schedule and invite His renewing power into every area of your life. And that can be tough. Every area of your life. I had to learn this. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think that God should be part of, you know, certain areas of my life. God should be a part of every area of my life. So that is the end of this. Special announcements. Do you have that or do I read that?
Okay.
Well, actually, he has this at the bottom here, but you already read that. Cool. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, refunds can be handled through sending emails to Pastor Harold. Say you will see Pastor Harold again. He's spreading the good news in Houston, Texas. Thank you very much for putting up with me.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.